party down, location mysterious. Wanna rock this con like my man James Tiberius.
Jesse and Marina, they're mad clever like the Negus. Gonna guide you through the scenes, beam from London to Las Vegas. Where to go, how to dress, when to sleep, who to see. Celebs not to miss, Curtis Wong and SMG. Star Trek into awesome, build some memories at last. Set the proper course, the Shore Leave Podcast. Boom.
Welcome to the 63rd episode of Shore Leave, your Star Trek convention community podcast. My name is Jesse Okendo, and I'm only half of this hosting team. The other half is, who are you?
This is Marina Kravchuk. I can't believe this strange existence that we leave. And we're without conventions, and yet here we are still talking about things. We do have very much topic du jour for this particular episode. Jesse, would you like to introduce it?
Sure, yeah. So Marine and I were discussing what were we going to do since we didn't have many conventions to talk about, aside of the sad cancellations and postponements that are really cancellations. It's getting depressing. So we wanted to talk to a couple of folks we knew about their convention experiences from the other side of the table, we call it. So vendors or talent or vendors and talents, depending on who you talk to. And so that's what we're going to talk to. We're going to talk to a couple of industry guys and just see, you know, how are they doing and see what we can do to be more connected as a convention community. So Marina, do you want to introduce our guests?
Of course. And we do have fantastic guests, if I may say so. One person is actually a returning guest to the podcast, and that's the man who wears a lot of hats. I mean, he's the author, he's an actor, he's a consultant, an interviewer, and he's an archivist supreme. And that is, of course, Dr. Trek himself, Larry Nemechek. Larry, welcome back to Shore Leave.
Hey, guys. I just want to say, just because there's no conventions does not mean there's not lots to talk about. Conventions. As you're
Trek is booming. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And our other guest is also someone who's near and dear to the fandom. I'm sure lots of folks who are on convention circuit have met him. He is currently co-hosting the wonderful podcast, The Seventh Rule, with Sirach Lofton. And, yeah, the co-host was unfortunately passed away, Aaron Eisenberg. But he's also an actor, writer, and director, and producer. I mean, I have to say, I looked at IMDb credits, and I was deeply, deeply impressed. And that is, of course, Ryan T. Husk. Ryan, welcome to Shore Leave.
Hey, guys. Thanks very much. Don't be fooled by IMDb stuff. I definitely don't like directing. That's too much work. I've done some, but it's definitely not my thing. Acting, producing specifically. And I've got as many questions about this convention situation as anybody else, I think.
Yeah, this will be great. Ryan, I got to tell you, I was talking to Marina about how I knew you. And I remember I met you at either my first or second convention, and it was through the fan films. And when I went to my first convention 6 years ago, I didn't even know a fan film existed. And you were one of the first people I met that I'm like, oh my God, I've seen him on TV, because I was that guest. I'm a little better right now. So thank you so much. And I love watching your work and continue to be impressed. Thanks so much for being here. And then thanks. Larry.
Ryan is a get it done-er. Ryan is. Yes.
I think Larry and I met on the set of a fan film. In fact, I think we met on the set of Star Trek Continues episode 2.
Right.
Larry and I were both Tellarites at Laurel Canyon Stages. We may have met before then.
That's
possibly.
Right. We're the two. I was going to say, I was thinking it was before then through one of your projects or something, and I bought
I'm
by.
Sure it was, but this was the time where we actually spent a lot of quality time.
Oh, yeah.
Like full afternoon, you know?
Definitely the first. Yeah, we were the bad Tellarites.
And I'll tell you, Larry, I met my first year at Vegas, the first convention I went to, and I really only got to talking to him because someone told me he was from Oklahoma. I'm like, there's nobody from Oklahoma that goes to this thing. And there Larry was. So ever since, I've been following him around too. And
but that was just 6 years ago? That was just like 2014?
Yeah. I had to look back. I'm like, it feels like it was forever ago. But really, I've only been doing this for a few years.
It's 10 years for me. And it started with The Companion. Because that was 1 year, Larry. You had quite a lot of copies of the later version, the most recent one. And I was like, I always wanted to get it. And here's the man who actually wrote it. So I have to get it now. And then it kind of all started because that's when I learned about Trackland. And that's when I learned about, eventually when Portal 47 came around, that was like the next thing. And then Yeah, we've been basically following you around for years.
Oh, okay.
How does that feel?
Yeah, if you wonder where your stalkers are, they're right here.
I was gonna say, yeah.
As far as
I hear you breathing.
Yeah, and Ryan, I remember when I first put actually face to the name, because I've heard the name a lot. Again, probably through.
Sorry about that.
No. But I remember you were one of the first ones to start posting the photos from Into Darkness. And I was like, oh my God. So it's not just like, okay, a fan who knows a lot of things and person who just does something with fan films, because I think a lot of people kind of associate fan films purely with stuff that, you know, your run-of-the-mill fan does, you know, whatever, 10-minute thing in the closet. And then I was like, no, that's, holy cow. You know, so it's kind of like what Jesse said, like that I saw him on TV, you know.
Yeah, we have a lot of fun. I mean, that's the Star Trek universe has so many different levels of things, and anybody can do something that's a 2-minute thing or a 5-minute thing, or some people can pull together a lot of resources and a lot of time and a lot of effort and make something bigger and better, at least back in the day. Now it's a little tougher to do that.
Yeah. But people still come up. Yeah. And but at least, I mean, thank goodness we do have an online community, because, mm-hmm. you know, podcasts go on and hangouts will proliferate right when all the other things happening. But Jesse and I did want you to kind of do a little bit a mini introductions on your own behalf, sort of your current projects, what you're doing, and sort of tie it in how it connects to the convention circuit, because as I mentioned in the beginning, you're very much a part of it. We will see you in Vegas all the time.
Yeah, so why don't we start with Larry? So Larry, your history just amazes me. I don't know how anyone from Oklahoma.
Me.
Yeah, I'm like from Norman. Oh, what? So, but kind of just, you know, let us know how you got into all this craziness and where you fit into the convention community.
Oh, you guys. I was a kid that was like cursed with lots of interests, and I was I've said this many times, I was a NASA baby and a history buff before I was a Star Trek fan, but that's all kind of led into it. And, you know, I specifically blame my 9th grade science teacher, who I recently, like the last couple of years ago, reunited with her, and it was kind of funny. I mean, Facebook, you know. For years, I was like, whatever happened to Mrs. Pollard? Or I'm going to name a character Chief Pollard. I think that'd be a great name for a character sometime. But no, I had a lot of interests. I had a theater background. I had a journalism background. I went through all that. But Trek was in and out of it. And a couple of times I dipped my toe in the water because I was, now we have words for all this. Back in the day, we didn't. But I guess I was always really interested on the world building side, the background side, and then the making of side, although that kind of emerged. And I did my own writing and thing, my own star charting, my own like concordances, and eventually with some fits and starts and getting my heart ripped out on a couple of things when I got ripped off, but still went on and then still had a life. But when Next Generation came out, had a chance to, I just did my own concordancy type episode guide thing like Bijo had done, and that got the attention. I got it to stumble into having it at the Next Generation offices, and they used it as a writer's thing before Memory Alpha, before Mike and Denise had done their encyclopedia. And that led to the Next Generation Companion, done on 3 months, in 3 months, extended to 6 months. And anyway, and then eventually moving to LA and being here to do a lot of editing, you know, editing the Communicator magazine and keeping the Companion updated and doing all kinds of projects with licensing, the Star Trek Experience, the FAQ files overseas. I mean, just a lot of different things like that. And then everything kind of dried up in 05, you know, when everything kind of exploded. And then the last 10 years, kind of figuring out a way to entrepreneur that out. And that's where Portal 47 came from, and watching podcasting grow and the fan film movement and all that, and working with Star Trek Continues, actually doing a couple of very early phase twos back when that was kind of new and cool. But overall, this whole arc is somewhere between worrying about things are going to be so old that no one cared anymore and realizing that, no, all the old things from fandom in the 70s and 80s need to be brought back because people have no clue about that's where the roots of things are. Or just like with everything in society, people are fearful. They're either arrogantly optimistic or they're fearful because no one realizes that we're really not going through much new. I mean, we've been through so much before already. And when people lose track of history, whether it's, you know, get a quiz on this Monday history, or it's just our fandom history. A lot of things have happened before, and you get good perspective. So a lot of what I do now, I try to not just look at history for the dustiness of it, but like, here's what's relevant for today. And you'd be amazed. So we talk about, you know, fandom, toxic fandom or whatever. It's like, well, pieces that have been around for a long time. Anyway, so that's kind of what I've come from. But from roots fandom, yes, roots in Oklahoma fandom, working on conventions. We ran a media convention called ThunderCon for 8 years on the old school days in the 90s. And even after we moved to LA, we had the Voyager actors coming back to Oklahoma for that. So this whole discussion today is going to be interesting, because I'm like Ryan. I've got a lot of questions too, but I also can kind of look back and see the arcs of things that I want to get into today. But
thanks, Larry. Well, appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Did I beat that to death? Yeah, yeah.
No. Hey, we all need to know who we're talking to, is what I say. Okay.
And I'll just say that Corona time, has been crazy, because I did finally mech out. We did the Trek Files for Roddenberry. So Rod and John Champion came to me about hosting this, which does exactly what I wanted to do, which was access to files and memos and letters and things from Gene's files, and talk about it in a historical way and illuminate, but also make it relevant to today in the best Star Trek way. So I love that. And then Tuesdays Live is my live Facebook show that I'm just about to expand finally to YouTube, which is just take a topic a week and talk about it and interact with fans. But for COVID time, two projects crazy here. So Friday is just a feel-good little thing I call Nonfiction Friday, where we pull a classic nonfiction Trek book off the shelf and talk about it. And we've had David Gerald bop in. And Friday
and
I got Doug bop in and talk about the medical reference. So that's just a fun thing on a Zoom meeting. And then I'm really proud of what I'm doing on Saturday at noon Pacific with Dr. Ali Matu, who's a geek psychologist. And I'm finally doing something besides, you know, the measurement between braid stripes on an original series uniform stuff. I mean, we're actually talking about things that are like geek Star Trek fun, pivoting to, mental health and just things to help everybody get by, especially in these days. That's Life Support Live.
Yeah, and we certainly appreciate guys like you who have stepped up the content a bit so that we're not,
absolutely,
you know, trying to find the end of the internet, which is what I say. Yeah. I'm almost there.
Absolutely. I had the pleasure of attending a couple of the nonfiction book club events. I mean, actually both one with David and the one with Doug. And it was great. Yeah. I mean, I wish we were doing this all in person, but, you know, considering the circumstances.
Well, it's a dynamic. But anyway, so hopefully all of that, you know, funnels back into Portal 47 and the Treks when we get to do those live again and all of that. So,
yeah.
Let's go to Ryan. So, Ryan, kind of the same thing. Where'd you start? Why are you where you are? You know, how do you fit into our convention?
Basic questions of life, Ryan.
Yeah. Well, why are you here?
that's a long story, but I guess I never really planned on being an actor or producer or really doing anything with Star Trek, to be honest. I just moved to LA as a musician initially from the San Francisco Bay Area, and I just kind of got dragged into a theater class. And turned out it was a lot of fun, so I ended up keeping it. I got kind of forced to participate, which is really strange, but I'm glad now that people were more aggressive than I was in making me do it. And then from there, I kind of got involved in Star Trek fan films because I loved, you know, Star Trek. And in, you know, small acting productions through the college circuit and through independent stuff. And then a little bit more mainstream. And then I kind of fell into producing as well. And now I'm kind of more associated with a lot of science fiction productions, usually as a producer, oftentimes as an actor, or usually both. And it's strange to look back at the last like 5 or 6 years, because I never would have thought that I'd be working with, you know, Walter Koenig, Nichelle Nichols, Tim Russ, Doug Jones, Terry Farrell, Robert Beltran, and, you know, and on and on and on and on, you know, acting beside them or casting them in films. Because, I mean, let's face it, if you are producing a science fiction movie and you have a role to cast, you're going to cast your favorite Star Trek actor, right? You're going to say, well,
say so, yes.
Well, let me, let me think. There are a lot of great choices, but I'm going to go with Terry Farrell. I'm going to go with Tim Russ, you know, and they're like, who? Trust me. Cool. You'll love them.
Right.
So now I'm doing a podcast, a Star Trek podcast. And I don't know if it's a different term for video podcast, video cast. I don't know what it is. And we started it at the beginning of last year. It did have Aaron Eisenberg, who played Nog in Deep Space Nine, and Sirach Lofton, who was Jake. So it was great to have Jake and Nog reunited, even if only for 8 months before our brother, Mr. Aaron Eisenberg, passed away. But the community had grown so strong in those 8 months that we had to keep it going. You know, there was no way we could stop it. So Sirach and I are keeping it going, as well as, you know, our associate producers and our supporters. And it is growing, you know, exponentially, actually, over the last few months. And so what we do is we review new Star Trek series, as well as going through Deep Space Nine episode by episode. We're currently at the beginning of season 3. Aaron saw us through the entirety of season 1 and actually passed away the day before we were going to start season 2. So we just recently completed an entire season without him. And we're having a ton of fun. You know, we honor Aaron every step of the way. We laugh with our patrons and our supporters and viewers. We have a lot of really cool guests like Armin Shimmerman, and the Na Visitor has been amazing. We can go down the list, but we've had tons and tons of guests that come on, especially from like Deep Space Nine, you know, to talk about the series. We had Iris Stephen Bear, who was awesome. We're working on a couple more. Nana's going to join us for the review of, what is the next one? Second Skin. So Second Skin, so she's going to be great. We are also, spoiler, nobody knows this, but we'll be talking with Robert Hewitt Wolf very soon, who wrote that episode, so that'll be a fun way to tie that in as well. That's kind of what I'm doing.
It's usually great to talk to, because he remembers a lot of details still.
Really?
I've never met him before,
so I'm looking forward to it.
Well, yeah. Wolfie's great. He is wonderful, yes.
Yeah, well, Larry, you had him as one of the guests, right?
He was an open house guest.
Yeah, it was one of the open houses, and that was just, he's fascinating.
Ryan, I'm a little disappointed because your best guess was one Marina Krapcheck and Jesse Okendo on this episode.
Oh, come on!
That's two best guests.
But no,
we've never had Larry on, sadly. I'm pretty sad about that.
Well, yeah. Aaron had said something to me once or twice about being on. I'm like, yeah, sure, whatever. And, you know. So,
well, I'm sure it's in our future.
It's, of course.
Sure.
Of course.
I want to say, too, that you guys kind of also kick-inspired Garrett and Robbie to do their Voyager-ish laid-back pod, but they've just started.
Well, you'll never get anything out of me as to how much we inspired it. I'm not allowed to say one way or the other.
Hey, as long as it's a thing, I guess. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I mean, we're fans only, you know. It's all wonderful to us. It's far away.
Yeah, so let's talk through kind of how things have changed with the whole COVID issue and social distancing and that kind of thing. I mean, we've already talked about how you guys are delivering more content and content that people can go to, kind of a respite from the craziness that we're living in right now. What's kind of caused you guys to kind of step in and give us just a bit more? What's your mindset on that? Because, you know, I would just hide.
Well, I think, you know, the whole COVID corona thing, it was like a lot of things, and even the H1N1 and SARS and MERS and all that. Yeah, we'd hear about these things out of China or out of Europe, and like December and January feel like that was what that was. And we're all just sitting here bopping along, hearing about these things from afar, and and then it starts to get real in February, and then everything. And the last live convention I was at was Gallifrey here in LA, which was the big Doctor Who convention, one of the biggest in the world. Still small-ish. I mean, it's still 2,000, 2,500 people or something, but I go over, they have me go every year and provide a little bit of trek. And right after that, it was starting to get serious. And within a couple of weeks, boom, everything happened in Washington and people started talking. And on Tuesday's Live, which again, everybody I invite to on Facebook Live and maybe now on YouTube, it hit me that when Emerald City in Seattle, again, Seattle and Washington State was a hotbed. And when they actually canceled a complete convention, it was just like, it just snapped on. I'm like, well, this is the wave. This is not going to just be in Washington. It's going to take everybody a while to get on this, but things are going to start going down. And then the next big one was, it wasn't a sci-fi con, but South by Southwest in Austin. And that's really when you start to, what I started to think of, guys, this is not just all of us fans selfishly going, oh, I'm not going to get to go this year. But you're talking about money and bucks and people's livelihoods from the whoever owns the venue, if they start losing this and everything else that they host, you know,
yeah,
down to all the service, you know, all the eateries, all the dinings, all the jobs are going to be lost. And then you look at in con world, especially, you know, all the exhibitors, all the dealers, all the actors who are going to, all the guests who are going to have lost income, the agents. I mean, it's just this huge ripple effect. It's just like in Hollywood when there's a strike and everything goes down, down to the, you know, the prop rental places and the floral shops. I mean, it's just a huge ripple effect. And then, you know, and then the things they buy, and then it's into the grocery stores and the, you know, whatever, the retail. That's what that was going to be. And I go back now and like, I think around like the March 10th, March 17th, Trekland Tuesdays Live, I was trying to say, guys, this is where we're headed. And it's not just about us and fans. It's about the industry. It's about, and it's not just sci-fi, it's travel industry. Yeah. And all the ripple effects, and if this keeps up, this is going to happen. And it's like no one even wanted to think about like the spring cons, much less like say even do we dare say like San Diego Comic-Con and in Trek World, oh my God, even Trek Vegas. And I'm like, that's where we're headed. If not, then we're going to be very, very surprised, or we're going to be very, very stupid. And that's kind of where we are. But it's taken everybody a long time to get around that, much less just here in your face of you know, social distancing and shutdown and what, you know, lockdown sounded like some martial law kind of thing. And when those started to happen in California, and then state by state by state, they went from being this radical thing to and scary and weird. And so anyway, my entrepreneurs circle that I get a lot of inspiration, where Portal 47 came from, my coaches and some things I work with, they were all saying, step up, this is the time to jump in. And you know, don't worry about, you know, in the long run, this will be good for you. It'll be good business. But right now you've all got communities that need to be served. And the first thing I thought of was our community, aside from being scared, is going to lose conventions. And here I've done Portal 47 virtually, not just it's not a podcast, but we communicate globally over free conference call, and, you know, and Zoom is out there. And now it's funny to watch the world kind of figure out Zoom and figure out all these virtual things to use. And I just want to go, that's cool, guys. Welcome to the club that some of us have been in for 5 years. But, you know, but it's again, it's something to jump in. And, and you know, on the other side of this, it'll all be good. And it's, you know, it's you are getting yourself out there. But I like to feel like we're filling in some gaps for people. And it's been fun to watch the wide world, conventions and agents and actors and guests on their own, you know, pick it up and run with it.
Yeah, and I'll, so Marina and I got back from the Star Trek cruise on the 9th of March.
Oh boy.
And we were probably one of the last ships that didn't get kicked out of a port or anything. Yeah. The cruise after us actually had a little coronavirus issue. It was the 80s cruise, I think. But I kind of knew things were going to go crazy, because when I got back from the cruise, and I've been on every single Star Trek cruise, usually come back and I, you know, do my thing. And I'm like, yes, I went on a Star Trek cruise. And oh yes, I was in the Caribbean, you know, it's all fancy. And you know, you're all excited about what you did that no one else could. And then we got back, it was like, nobody could know I went on a cruise, because they would just stop talking to me.
Stay away from me. Yeah.
Stand 10 feet away. And, you know, so
I was saying a prayer every night that something, you know, that something didn't happen health-wise to put people in danger. But then I was hoping that nothing happened so that you guys, in the early days, that you guys didn't become like the punchline of all the late night comics.
Yes,
it was. Please don't let the Star Trek cruise be the.
It's a miracle when I look back at it. I came back with the flu, so I was actually in lockdown.
I came back with pneumonia. So
yeah. So for me, yesterday was actually my day 70 of this new life mostly online, and it's almost seems inconceivable how lucky we got. Already, it was like, remember, we started to get messages from ECP kind of saying, okay, this is our thoughts on what might happen if things can kind of start to head south, but we managed to avoid it and had a pretty tremendous trip. Now, I have to admit, I mean, we had a discussion about this when we did the cruise coverage episodes. I discovered that I'm not a cruiser. So actually I came back, I mean, aside from feeling awful because of the flu, but my intention was like, great. And now I'm going to go all out on my land conventions because I had 7 conventions planned, you know, starting in June. Actually, starting in March, I had a couple of smaller ones, local.
Mm-hmm. She's hardcore, signings. Guys. She'll
and then, of course, and then one thing after another, everything started to fold. Literally just got refunded for my celebrity fan fest in San Antonio, and things are just, I'm like, okay, this is, as the new term is the new normal, which unfortunately we all have to kind of somehow dig through and come out on the other side.
And Marina, you remember we saw some of that too. So when we got on the cruise, you kind of felt it, right? You felt that something was happening. Yeah. I mean, the signs were like, no hugging, no shaking hands. Yeah. You can fist bump, elbow bump.
ECP, definitely. They looked into it mm-hmm. to kind of, I'm sure that we're probably not even aware that they were possibly keeping track of who was getting sick and what was going on, because there were multiple flu cases. But thankfully, you know, I mean, the flu is bad enough, but in this case, it was like, okay, oh God, thank goodness it's only flu, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, show the live long and prosper sign and do the elbow bumps. That was the sort of the modus operandi on ship.
Yeah.
On
and board. So like, I feel like our future is that way. Like, I feel like our future is going to be of a social distancing type of thing regardless. Because, you know, we really don't have a treatment that I know of that said this is exactly what we're going to need to treat, you know, to treat this. And a vaccine is far off too. So, you know, kind of mm-hmm. just trying to figure it out. So, Ryan, on your end, so like I have a friend who lives in LA and does some editing, and he's kind of been living with no paycheck for a while. How are things in that industry over there? And do you have any sense of how it's mm-hmm. going to go?
Yeah, well, first of all, can you believe it's only been 2 months? You guys got back from the cruise 2 months ago, yeah. And it just feels like another world ago.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, in this town, yeah, everything has stopped. Definitely has completely stopped all of the entertainment business. So, you know, writers, actors, producers, you know, production assistants, lighting guys. I mean, like literally just the town is stopped. So it's great. You can drive somewhere very quickly now, and you'd never realize how close things are until there's no traffic in LA. You're like, oh my God, Hollywood's only 7 minutes away. Why have I been spending an hour and 20 minutes every time getting there? So it's definitely, you know, it's definitely taken its toll. So for me, you know, that's probably eliminated maybe 70% of my work. You know, I wear a lot of hats, so, you know, my acting gigs are gone. My office jobs are gone. You know, if I'm working, say, like locations or coordinator or something like that, my producer jobs are gone as far as working on sets. So those are all done. So everything's online. But, you know, that also, you know, luckily we have this kind of technology to where you can kind of readjust and say, okay, well, this is gone, but let me start focusing more on this and producing more of this. Now, who knows if that's sustainable forever? For some people, yes. For others, no. I know a lot of people that this is not going to work for them. Obviously, they've got to get back to work. Getting a $400 check is great.
Yeah, but we have 47 million new Instagram stars now, and 47 yeah. million new teachers and coaches of anything you could ever want. You know,
right. there are a lot of self pronounced experts on anything right now, and I will tell you guys, I work from home normally, and I'm in IT, and so like my day is spent on conference calls and video calls, and so if you're like me, I'm happy the content is out there, but like, I do not like sitting in front of my computer, and I force myself to do it just to keep in touch with my Trek family, because like, I'm that guy who found your family in a Star Trek convention. So I do what I can, but like, I absolutely do not like the video stuff at all. and the last thing I want to do is sitting through a conference call, because I do it for work enough. But but I know folks who are very thankful that there is something out there, because they would just lose it if there weren't something that they can go to. And, you know, the conventions and even a movie or anything, it's all about taking yourself out of your environment and living somewhere else for a little bit to give you a little respite and a little break. And so appreciate you guys doing that. And Ryan, I especially when you guys do, and I forget what you call it, but what's that? And seventh rule, it's like, ask me anything or whatever it is.
Sure, AMA, yeah.
And so, like, that's great because, you know, you get to see people just being people, and it's not scripted. It's just, you know, conversations. And that's kind of why we like doing this podcast this way. So, anyhow, let's Marina, where do we go from here?
Jesse, I said once or twice that it's amazing. I mean, if we had to live through this horrible time, it's actually feels like it may have just 10 years ago, much less maybe 15.
Yes, exactly.
Because we've got the technology, and not just that we've got the technology, but it's not just, you know, cutting edge techie heads that have it. It's like people all have a camera on their phone, if nothing else, or on their pad. And it's way easier, I think, for people to be sane and be connected, even if, like you said, it's people that sit that way all day long. But at least it's better than, you know, nothing, or it's better than, you know, I just think that this has helped with people's resilience a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm very impressed with a couple things that I've seen lately. So, you know, Saturday Night Live did all their videotaping from homes. And then I saw an episode of, it's a CBS show called All Rise, and they did a special show where they were like managing the court system via their Zoom meetings and, you know, everyone from their house doing what they can do. And I honestly, the one thing that amazes me is how quickly you can get that together, but how you can do it in a way that makes us feel like we're in it together. You know, that's why.
And the thing is that it's all part of the same cycle, because somebody starts it somewhere, somebody shows that it can be done. And because everybody has access to this kind of technology, it just booms almost immediately. Because, you know, as Ryan said, it feels like it's been forever since March. But one of the first ones that started doing this were primarily various, not even so much museums, but various musical entities. They were like, okay, oh, great. We have this digital archives of the recordings. Mm-hmm. And what about doing this live? And then I think Met did an enormous gala with like 90 plus opera singers and cello players and you know, whole orchestras just recording this, in, you know, four hour long thing. And that was then made available for free for anyone to watch off their website. And it became a thing. And then everything else started up. Actually, the next thing that I wanted to talk about is the virtual events that started to pop up. Because right now, I have to be honest, I know Jesse said that, you know, he's tired of the virtual stuff because he has to do it professionally. I am on computer all the time, but I don't have to communicate with my clients beyond email most of the time. My online existence basically exploded, because I have several museums that are constantly doing live talks and presentations and webinars. And then there's adventure clubs, and then there is hangouts, and then there's this and this. I actually kind of feel exhausted by the end of the week, because besides working that I do from home, I also have all these other events to quotation marks go to. So as far as virtual events, we do have several new brand new entities completely virtual only popping up, as well as various hosting companies such as ReadPop or Wizard World offering virtual Q&As with casts across all genres, series across all genres. So what are your thoughts about that? Have you thought about actually taking part in any one of those events? Let's actually start with Ryan this time.
First of all, I totally agree with Larry in that, like, I've been noticing that, you know, ever since this started, which is, you know, I keep thinking, imagine if this happened 10 or 20 or 25 years ago. We'd all be just sitting at home reading books and going crazy. But at least now we can, like, we have social media, we have video phones, we can talk to each other. We're fine. We are fine. I mean, obviously some people are having more problems than others, and we need to reach out to them and help them out. But we as a society are extremely fortunate that this didn't happen 15 or 20 or 50 years ago. But yeah, as far as the you know, the online presences. I've definitely got something in the works that I can't talk about right now, but yeah, I know, I'm sorry. the timing is not good.
Tantalizing, yes.
But I do agree that, you know, everything's popping up. It's great. I have not participated in a ton of them, you know, because I'm doing my own show, which is kind of our own variation of that. You know, we have, you know, weekly episodes. We have bonus footage. We do. We have interview, you know, episodes with like Alexander Siddig and Nikki DeBoer and all these people. We kind of release those every week. So we're doing a lot. We're doing our part. And what has kind of gotten us to, you know, increase it a little bit more is people have been messaging us and commenting saying, hey, you know, in these stressful and uncertain times, this podcast and these episodes you do are giving me a semblance of normalcy. They're really helping a lot. And, you know, that's great to know. It's great to hear. And so, of course, we're going to keep doing it. We're going to redouble our efforts, you know, and also jumping on other people's podcasts like this one. I also was recently on Orville Nation. They were a great group of people. They're a lot of fun. And I see a lot of people doing their own thing, even if it's just for 4 people or 40 people or whatever, you know, like the more you do it, the better. Give people the option. If they want to be left alone, they'll be left alone. If they want to be with people, give them as many options as you can. Like, you know, even if you want to talk about, you know, puppies in drag race cars, you know, who knows? Anything. Just talk about anything.
And I bet you it's out there.
I almost thought you were going to say puppies in drag. And
that's what I meant. Okay. that's what I meant.
Puppies in drag, comma, racing.
There you go. Like, let me write that down. That's going to make me some money someday.
If RuPaul doesn't get in your face about it on rides.
But you're absolutely – I have a – every year there's a group of people that I meet in Vegas. It's like 10 of us from corners of the world, from like Scotland, England, Canada. And we just all met at the convention and we hang out. And we have been able to get through some of this because we try to meet every Saturday on a Zoom meeting. So it's it's a shower day because you have to be on video with these guys. So. But it's either Trek trivia or watch an episode or just something to kind of, and we are actually more connected now than we ever were because we would have a WhatsApp group and chat, but like, now we're making the effort to all be in the same place at the same time. And so I'm not thankful, by God, don't get me wrong. I'm not thankful that we have this thing going on, but I am thankful that we are getting outside our comfort zones and that we are reaching out to support each other. And so that's been really cool. So, and Marina, we weren't really great at this recording a podcast at any normal time. And now we're like putting them out one after the other.
Yeah, things became sort of streamlined in the sense that before, you know, besides our respective jobs, it was actually quite difficult to pin people down. It was like because everybody was moving around, literally. And now, even though people still have to work, and even those who unfortunately did lose work, for the most part, everybody's at home one way or another and has access to, you know, online communication all the time, even more so right now. So now it kind of became, let's do another one. And it kind of, things sort of straightened out a bit in that regard. Like, it's awful. Yep, pandemic is helping our schedule. Who would have thought about that?
What I like is, like, we're more, I wouldn't say aggressive, but we're confident, right? Because Larry, even though I know Larry, I would never... couple months ago, I would have said, no, he does his own thing. He doesn't want to talk to us. And same with Ryan.
No, it's Larry. Larry and Trek, you can always talk about the, come on.
But you know, I left Oklahoma. And so like SoonerCon's in my past now. So I just know, I don't know if my name got out for Jesse left us over there. So, you know, Larry's
you're
tight.
You're missed, Jesse. Of course, there wasn't a SoonerCon.
No.
That's when the dominoes started to fall. And it's like, well, this is just going to be a matter. I mean, I know you guys want to talk about this eventually, but it's like, okay, all the little things are going away. I was going to get to go to this very interesting convention in Detroit. That's a mashup of sci-fi and science and like makers and open source people. I was really looking forward to seeing what that looked like, and you know, it went away. But they were also the first ones in March. So we're talking about where all this is going, maybe. And in March, I was thinking, as like I said, as my circle of the entrepreneur side was all saying, you know, jump in and try to help your communities and do something. And I was thinking, should I like jump? Because we ran conventions. It's like, you know, we have a circle, you know, and know people. And it's like, should I just jump in and try to like, I don't think people get this yet. Like jump in and pioneer some kind of virtual online one-off, you know, actor guest type things and use actors or authors or create, you know, producer writers or whatever, or do a virtual. I mean, I was totally seeing doing a virtual convention, and part of me was like, oh my God, that sounds exhausting. I'm going to do a couple of smaller things. And then meanwhile, watching, you know, these small conventions took the lead first. And this one in Detroit was called PingoCon, and they reached out and said, we're going to do some virtual conventions. And they totally just took their little, you know, con grid and flipped it and programmed everything in. And they, you know, it was a shell of what it would have been, but they had, you know, a fourth of as many things. And they had hour to hour to hour, and sometimes had more than one thing you could choose. And by then we had started Nonfiction Fridays, and then we had Life Support Live happening. And I said, how about I just, so I was in like a virtual panel with two guys I had never met that I would have met that weekend. But also I said, can we just brand these two things? And they're like, sure, yeah. So we had, you know, new people coming in under their umbrella of promotional. But then I see agents doing it. I see one-offs. Now, and now you've got, you know, Sid is doing his Sid Social Hour. And Kate's doing her tea party with six winners a week. I mean, there's all kinds of crazy creative stuff. But the big thing was going to be, what was San Diego going to do? And when they canceled, the WonderCon started this. And then they're doing it too. They're doing a virtual at home, but it's all pre-recorded. They're not doing live. Like, pre-record your panel and then bring it in. But what got me was, I mean, you know, watch it, and different people are doing different things. And that's going to be interesting to watch as it happens. Because all of this, like you said, Jesse, and we should talk, I think we're going to talk about this. There's going to be a residual from this going forward. We're not going, in many ways, we won't go back to what normal used to be. But there's also a silver lining, and a lot of this is going to carry forward, and it's going to be interesting to see what creative ways, now that this is kind of, people's awareness has been opened up and people are so familiar with, you know, technology and Zooming or not Zooming or whatever they do.
Well, one of the things, Larry, that I see right now that I really like is there are people who can participate in panels and convention type things now that couldn't participate before because they either couldn't travel or finances were an issue or they had someone they had to take care of home. And so now you actually have a bigger audience because you have people who normally would just have to sit home who can actually sit home and enjoy and be part of something. And I think that's been, you got to look at the silver lining, you know? And so I think that's been nice.
And it's fun. It's I've seen a lot of people talking about whether Creation or Wizard World or any of the chain cons or even the one-offs, the nonprofits, whatever, saying one of the things that may come out of this is people, you know, having a ticket, you know, a $5 a day ticket or something, or a $10 a day, depending on the size. And it's, and they just set a virtual, so many places are recording the panels anyway in the events, just turning that on as a live stream and doing it, which is funny to me because in the first wave in the dot-com boom, there were people trying to do baby. Now, it was before we had social media and before everything was wired for this. So like the late 90s, early aughts. And I want to say there was a guy that worked with StarTrek.com, the old Mark Wade era of StarTrek.com when it was a news team. And there was one of the former associates there that went out and started a company. And there was 1 year of STLV that back at the Hilton that they tried to do a virtual convention and you signed in and you made yourself an avatar even.
Oh, wow.
And but it was like it was a ticket, and they had cameras at all the major events, but you were at home, but they had created a completely virtual, they didn't just stick a camera up and show you a screen. They had tried to make a virtual environment, you know, like a Second Life, and your avatar was in there. And then the screen was, you know, like projected as the stage or whatever. And it didn't last more than 1 year. I'm thinking maybe they invested a lot in infrastructure that was, you know, nothing. It was nowhere near being supported financially. But, you know, it's like there have been baby steps in this way to bring the cons virtually. I mean, it's profit. It should be gravy to anybody who's producing. And now that you've got, I mean, that's one thing I think will definitely hang over. Because I think we got to get back to live you know, people seeing each other as a reunion or meeting people and all that. That part of it will come back.
I just wanted to kind of tack on something that you were saying, you know, it's actually what Jesse was saying, with people having opportunities, you know, us having an experience with, well, both virtual stuff, but actually with real conventions, real in-person events is one thing. But I was looking at all the comments, like the last, I'm going to say, about 2 weeks, when once all of the things kind of started multiplying, because right now we have about 7 or 8 different virtual panels available at any given time. And I can see people commenting who are normally, I'm like, okay, these are definitely new names in all the fan groups for various, well, Star Trek series, for instance. And they're commenting because this is literally, even though they can go on YouTube and look at the recordings of various, you know, DragonCon or Fan Expo panels from various Star Trek actors, somehow being that just those 30 minutes or 45 minutes or 1 hour virtual stream that was there, and they could actually ask a question and their question got picked and was answered live in person. And they just staring at that same screen. And yet for them, that was like the most incredible experience ever because they finally connected.
They got to connect with the they're not only just connecting with who's on screen, but they're connecting with the chat room too.
Yeah,
hopefully.
Yeah.
And so they're still getting. And are you talking about people that have never been to a convention or people who are
there's a lot of people. As a matter of fact, I would say, I mean, this is just my general feeling, is that majority of, if we're talking about Star Trek fans, actually have never been to a convention.
Mm-hmm.
A convention circuit is very much a subset of this entire Trek life that we have.
It's a strange new world, to coin a phrase.
Yeah, and I'm saying, like, it's almost like it's fascinating to observe. Because my Star Trek fandom started online. I came to the States in 98, you know, so we already have the beginnings. MySpace, I think, was what, 99 or something else? So something like that. And Facebook finally launched in 2003 or 4. So I was an online fan. And then I started going to conventions. And here you have people who, even though they kind of like general, you know, okay, I guess I'm a fan of Star Trek, but they don't really do much because they've never been to a convention. They've never been to a part of a Star Trek club. Sure. Yeah. They're just there generically, if you will, an armchair fan. And that's, here they I'm had this say, moment, yeah. And there's like, it's just like, oh my goodness, I did this thing. Somebody was posting one of the, specifically Kate fan groups, because they got picked for Zoom. And it was like probably... That's a memory for the rest of this person's life.
It puts them front and center where you're not used to being front and center. I mean, you know, especially a Zoom meeting. Zoom, I thank God for it. But, you know, like, you feel connected when you're looking at the screen with all the squares of everybody, and you are attending this thing with all these people, and they can see you and you can see them. You know, it's, I don't even know. It's just...
It's like when a game show or talk show puts the camera in the studio.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's been great.
It's still, like you said, it's still a shell. I mean, we having this experience, like, I know that this is nowhere near close to the experience I normally get when I go to Vegas or I go to New York Comic Con or anything else. But given the circumstances, it's a miracle that we have this. Goodness that we have this.
And I think it's going to be like, I could take an outsider looking in, especially with what's going on at work and stuff. It's even when we open, it's going to take a minute, right? So like just
2 or 3.
Yeah. Like if somebody, you know, says, oh, you can have your conventions now, Las Vegas, you know, what's going to happen. A lot of people are just going to wait to see what happens to the people in front of them. You know, there'll be the people who go right away because they want to see how things are going. And then you're gonna have people like me that'll go, well, let me see if they get sick before I go.
<You know? laughs> Well, and you're talking about global attendees, you're talking about people just in the States. I mean, all the experience, you know, for good or bad, the politics of it, the natural flow of the virus, everything, everybody is in a different situation. And I mean, I've been thinking about, I've thought, no way. And of course, Comic-Con is, San Diego is 2 weeks before Vegas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they've made the decision, you know, they're a one-off nonprofit. And, you know, Adam and Gary Creation, they're still hanging in here to see what Nevada makes them do. But Nevada's waiting to see what Nevada does, you know, beyond this little Trek event.
Yeah.
But, I mean, all of this is, it's not just what's happening where the site is. It's also, like you said, where everybody is and what their own, you know, local geocultural experiences. Were we an early state or location or country that's gone over the hump and down? Or are we one of the later bloomings? And we're still talking about August. And there's a lot of talk about the site. I mean, I'm very hesitant about being stupid and, you know, oh, look, guys, they've declared the pond is the lake is shark free. Yay. And everybody jumps in and, oh, look, here's the piranha coming along later. You know, it's like, you know,
well, my friends who are international, right? So I've got a friend who comes to Vegas from New Zealand, and she's like, well, I can't even travel if they open it up, because they there are we're not all treating things the same way. Right. Yes. So like, and, you know, I do know from my background that it's not good enough that we say, okay, you can start up your business again. Starting up your business isn't just opening a door anymore.
It's not flipping a switch, right?
No, they all in Vegas, they all have to share the cleanup crews, and they have to and they have to get all their employees back, and they have to get retrained into social distancing, whatevers. And that doesn't happen overnight. So, I mean, I know it's been bad on the economy, but just when we say you can doesn't mean it happens the next day, you know?
Well, I heard when Georgia was an open, early open state, I remember seeing some little news clip somewhere of some, you know, retail, you know, nail salon, something that was not essential, right? But they were opened up the minute they could. And then they were bitching because the first weekend, it's like, we only had two people come in. It's like, well, yeah. Well, just because you're open doesn't mean people are stampeding.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't blame anybody for not wanting to stop going broke. I mean, you know, that's your livelihood, that's your business. And some people,
being in Georgia, I did exactly what I would do if it was Vegas. I let people go get their haircuts first 2 weeks ago, mm-hmm. just keep an eye and see if anybody got sick. And then I picked the one place where someone told me that they are the best at their social distancing, and that's where I got my hair trimmed. And these people are a little bit social distance Nazis. They're like, you can't sit there, you gotta put your mask on, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were, I did not mind. It's like the suit Nazi, but I didn't
mind. You
did
your research, and good on them. Yeah.
But there are places that opened in Georgia that did not follow any guidance, and you know, we have a snitch line too, and so they've been reported, and it's a little crazy. But I can tell you guys, I am very proud that like I am at 3/4 of a tank, and I filled my gas tank on March 10th. So
early April for me, I believe, and I'm still cold.
Yeah. You know, something to consider with back to creation in Vegas is they may come up with a plan. Maybe, you know, maybe the virus continues to diminish and they come up with a plan, mm-hmm. and everybody starts, some people start saying, all right, maybe I will, maybe I won't. But the other thing to consider is that, you know, the overwhelming majority of the actual actors from Star Trek who would be guests and panelists, they are in the high risk. Age group.
That's
so they're not going to want to come in and claim them. So I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that, like, even if they are somehow able to pull this off, are the guests and the panelists even mm-hmm. going to come? And the answer is no. Yeah. I think the overwhelming majority will not. And obviously we completely understand why. So in that case, I just don't even understand if there even is a path towards this convention still happening. I don't see it. Well, and I'm not sure if there's any reasonable way that it could.
I've heard some vibe about maybe if it's just if it's just a shell of a normal event.
Sure, but then they would lose money because nobody would go. I mean,
right.
Because for us, it's easy. I live in LA. It's a 4-hour drive. I wouldn't even have to get on a plane. I'm healthy. I'm good to go. Everything's fine. But do we really want to go to somewhere where nobody can touch, nobody can be anywhere near each other? We have to wear masks. There are no actors. There are the chairs in the convention room.
You know what? And here's the thing, right? You're talking about the older actors. What about CBS and their current show actors and protecting their investment and not wanting anything to go wrong or get sued? And all the corporate vendors that have, you know, there's mom and pop vendors, but there's also some corporate vendors, and they don't.
Lawsuit is the big word. Is the operative word there? And also, even those of us that are young and healthy and know we have nothing to worry about, statistically speaking, that doesn't mean that we can't, you know, deliver that that virus, you know, directly to the door of somebody that is at risk. So as much as I'd like for it to happen, I don't see how it could. Maybe it will. Maybe we'll be wrong. I mean, we still have 2.5 months. to see how it all goes, and fingers crossed that things continue to improve because they have begun.
Well, right now, the talk is that even when Vegas opens back up officially, they are going to have some new guidelines as we keep going.
I hope.
In terms of crowd sizes, right? So, you know, on a given day, you maybe have, what, 5,000 people at a Star Trek Las Vegas. What if they limit that size to like 1,000 or 250?
Are you talking even after the coronavirus is gone, theoretically? Or are we talking about...
While it's still going. So, I mean, I firmly believe Vegas is going to open at some point in this year. Like, it's not, they can't close, be closed the whole time. But I know that they have some stuff going on right now with very limited sizes and that kind of thing.
Right. Well, I think as long as this coronavirus is lurking, I think that conventions, attending sporting events, attending concerts, and even clubs, things like that. I mean, those are a thing of the past at this point. Yeah. And the thing of the future, but not a thing of the present. I just don't think, I mean, basketball games are going to resume, baseball games are going to resume, but the audience attendance, you know, crowds of 50, 100, 20,000, those are not going to happen.
Yeah, not until, I mean, I'm not a doctor, but not until there's a, it's not good enough that we have treatment. There needs to be a vaccine, because if you're just going to keep getting sick all the time, you know, I'm happy that you can cure it, but like, it would be nice if you didn't get sick at all. You know,
we don't even know the bug yet. I mean, they don't, they're still looking at whether people could be reinfected or if it's mutating so fast that maybe, you know, the 9th or 10th mutation down is something that can reinfect people that, you know, the prior antibodies aren't good enough to protect you against the, you know, until it really runs its course. And if we don't have
there is no guarantee we can even get a vaccine. I mean, theoretically, most likely, but I mean, look at HIV. I mean, that went rampant for three decades before we were able even really to take a dent out of it.
And we still
can't cure it. We just, just treat it.
And I went to see my doctor because, work is going to start removing their travel restrictions here within the next month or so. And I really just wanted to know, am I at risk or not? That was my question. Cause I could or couldn't be depending on if I got my pneumonia and all that stuff. And, you know, he said, you know, you'll probably be fine. I mean, you'll get something, you'll get real sick. You'll probably get over it. I said, but that's not to say if you feel fine right now that you're not infecting someone else. So he told me I wouldn't go. I'm like, okay. Yeah. Right. I don't mind a doctor's note.
80% of the people that carry the virus don't even get symptoms. Yeah. So,
absolutely.
So that's even worse.
They don't even know. They don't even know that they're, you know.
I have several friends who found themselves in this situation when they found out just completely suddenly, actually, that they were asymptomatic. They thought it was just general state of malaise. And one person did go to get tested and was like, oh, shoot, it is.
Right.
It is the virus. And then they immediately, I mean, a complete freak out because they, you know, their parents, their friends, they were trying to wreck their brains, who they could have possibly exposed that were actually potentially in trouble. As far as I know, everything turned out to be fine and the person is recovering nicely. But that's, that's exactly it. You will never even know, you might never even know that you are infecting other people. My sister is an emergency room doctor. She says this is a horrible bug, what it does to people, you know, and it's beyond the lungs. It's horrifying to see. So right now things are very much in limbo. No, not at all.
It doesn't sit in a box. There's this new trend they're starting to watch about what is, there's, they're getting a lot of like elementary school age kids with
children,
an informational that's different, but all they can think of is it's got to be tied somehow. And they're starting to see a lot of cases and deaths from it, which is sad. Yeah. So there goes your, it's only for old people. Not at all.
But I am wondering, like, something that we started talking about as far as limiting the sizes, and I keep trying to sort of visualize in my own head how it would have, I mean, it's one thing, smaller events, because let's face it, Las Vegas is very small compared to something as big as San Diego or New York Comic Con, which are 160,000-170,000 people, monsters. You know, can you imagine, like, what are the Comic Cons are gonna do? Because this isn't, again, we're not talking about, maybe smaller events might come back, goodness knows when, but the bigger events, that's just completely different animal altogether.
Like for me, my I'm usually good for two or three industry conventions or get-togethers or whatever it is.
Trade shows.
And I usually good for two or three of those a year. And we've stopped. Like my whole, and I'm in IT. So we definitely are not doing anything that makes people get together right now. But, you know, because we're in IT, we're finding ways around it, like virtual trade shows and that kind of stuff, you know. But I can only think that that's going to expand until we get somewhere where, you know, like it's scary. It really is that you could walk next to someone, not even know them, and catch something, you know, like at least with other things, you know, you actually have to like touch people, you know, you don't even need to touch anyone.
There's something else to consider. I mean, we're talking about actually, you know, being in company people, considering that this particular virus, you know, somebody will touch the coffee machine that you used in your office, went away, couple hours passed, goodness knows how many people touched it. You come along, you touched it, and you got it. And there you have it. You didn't even have to be in the company of other people. So
door
in this
handles
case,
of manual doors.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So right now, like, you know, you're in Georgia. New York is, well, everybody knows how difficult things are in New York. I haven't been there since either late March or early April when I had a doctor's appointment. But I mean, all these talks about finally opening up certain things. I'm in construction industry, but I'm on the consulting side, so I'm never actually in the field. But eventually, it will be part of one of the phases of opening. And I keep thinking, like, fine, I can totally see how the offices will open up, and there are pretty stringent rules already kind of starting to circulate what the companies, you know, who are renting the office spaces, what they might require people to do. But the transit. You know, I kind of started digging around, seeing if New Jersey Transit is maybe already thinking how they're going to handle it. Because, you know, let me tell you, 7 o'clock, 6 o'clock trains going into the city, I feel to the brim. People are standing and sitting on top of each other. How you can go around
that's really
that?
The worst of the worst.
Yeah, and
that's
there is the no worst. Way around it. You know, you can't really drive into the city. I mean, we're already bottlenecked up to our necks. So right now, like I said, everything is in unbelievable state of limbo.
Yeah, and that's kind of the sad part. So I really just miss the camaraderie. And, you know, I love that we have virtual places to have that, but I am a people person. And so, like, it's just sad. So let's kind of shift a little bit. Let's talk through, because I want to be cognizant of everybody's time. So let's talk through, like, kind of put on your romper room see-through glass and think maybe six
nice
months
reference.
From now. Yeah, I'm old.
I like Rob Room. I was always sad when she wouldn't call my name out. She'd be like, I see Johnny and Timmy. I'm like, and Ryan, I'm right here.
Yeah, she would never say my name, but my name's Jesus, and she never went for those names. So yeah. Never called my name. but I kind of want to think and we can all take a chance, right? But let's talk through what do you see the future here next 6 months for conventions? What do you think may happen? What do you think may not happen, or just not enough information? So let's start with Ryan. What do you think we're going to see?
Next 6 months basically takes us to the end of the year. I think that conventions are done. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, people will do their virtual things and we'll all get by. I mean, the reason humans are so successful on this planet is our ability to adapt. We've adapted very quickly. Like I said, you know, it's only been really 2 months that this has completely taken over our lives. And it feels like such a long time ago because we adapted in a day or two. I mean, we can handle and we can adapt to anything as long as we know it's temporary. So they tell us to stay home for 2 weeks. Okay, fine. Oh, can you stay home and do absolutely nothing and not touch anything? No. Can you do it for 2 weeks? Yeah, sure. What the hell? Right. And so I think we're all just going to bite the bullet. I think that conventions, you know, even movie theaters most likely are a thing of the past for the rest of this year. I think that maybe movie theaters, they might try to reopen and make sure that all the seats are super far apart. And then I think things will eventually get back to normal relatively quickly as far as our own mentality is concerned. You know, it'll take us like a week or two to get reaccustomed to how things were, and they'll never go back exactly to how they were, kind of like with 9/11. We never went exactly back to 2000.
No.
We went really hard in one direction of safety and, checking your shoes and what, you know, whatever else it was. And we were all happy and willing to do it. And then things got a little bit more normal, back to normal, but never fully back to normal, because we learned some lessons to on how to prevent this from happening again, theoretically. So I think that once this is all done and in the rearview mirror, we will have learned some lessons, and there will be some things. Maybe that will come in the form of, do not ask any of the actors to shake your hand.
Yeah.
Because then they will feel compelled to do it. They don't want to be the bad guy. They don't want to say, oh, I better not. But maybe you can't ask them. And if the actor wants to shake your hand, they will reach out to you. Little things like that, I think, might be in store for us in the future. Mm-hmm. Just little adaptations to where we're just a little bit smarter about things. And people that are sick with whatever it is, maybe they'll start wearing masks like we see happen in China. We always, or sometimes in LA, we see someone walking. We're like, why is that lady walking around with a mask? That's weird. It's probably because she's sick and trying to prevent from giving it to us. So we should say thanks.
You know? Yeah, yeah. And so I'll tell you,
that's what it'll look like.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, Ryan, though, after 9/11, the only good part about that is the TSA feel up, because that's sometimes the only time I get felt up, so.
I know, man. I feel like I need
to... sure. And it's totally free. They don't charge you anything.
Sorry, guys. Every time I hear 9/11, I'm like, this is what I remember is I've never been frisked as aggressively as I was after 9/11. It's calmed down a little bit, but so Larry, what are your thoughts?
That's funny. When I think of there were once or twice, like the 90s were when we kind of moved to LA and started doing conventions and all that, and you know, the fun side. And I remember once or twice where I was like absolutely like rushing to get on a plane. And in Burbank, you could like run up the steps and get on the plane. It was like literally at the last second. And I just remember thinking, well, that'll never happen. That kind of thing will never happen again. But yeah, the residual of, you know, once the sting or the numb or the trauma is gone, what's the residual? Hopefully it'll be good. No, I'm like Ryan. I think 2020 is wiped out. It's so funny. It's funny because at the beginning of the year, I was trying to think of all these marketing and slogany and, you know, tagline-y things with 2020 and vision and, you know, what's the clear view and all this stuff. And it's just kind of the ultimate irony that the clear view is just how much all of our modernism can be taken down by a microscopic thing. See, it's just like the guy in Georgia with the shop, or the woman with the shop, who was pissed that nobody came back when they could. It's like, you know, it's going to be on us, and it's just going to be sci-fi is one thing, and the con world is one thing, but it's a larger cultural and a global thing, and everybody slightly different, but it's all some on the spectrum of, when do people feel comfortable? What's the prevailing thing? Where's the vaccine? Where are the smart treatments? How widespread is it? Is it affordable? Is it for everybody? Is it, I mean, like every, you know, what shape do people come out of the wreckage of the economy in, and where they are? And a lot of that, you know, are people just going to have income to be able to spend go to things? And where is that versus people like screaming, I've been bottled up for a year. I miss my friends. You know, and Zoom meetings are great. It was a great lifeline, but what can I do? And it'll be interesting if this is wiped out. In fact, I'm waiting beyond sci-fi. I'm waiting for the NFL to come out and finally say, talking about having 70, 80, 100,000 people in the state, you know, what will, and Major League Baseball is talking about it, but at least in those things, the emphasis is on the show. And there are some, Ryan was talking about theaters. There are, I think in Texas somewhere, some guy with like a small, he has like four theaters in some small Texas cities, small towns, and talking about how they're opening it up. And people are sitting, you know, six, you know, skip two seats and there's somebody, right. Skip two seats and there's somebody. And what that even looks like. And under all of this, again, is if some of these places, whether they're slam bang or they're the best of people, you know, Cuomo or Newsom here in California, whatever the leadership is, whether they're insane or they're trying to do the best practice, no matter what we do, if we do get a second wave and it sets people back, because there are a lot of people hanging back, not just because of the virus and they're I say fearful, they're, you know, trust but verify fearful, but they're also worried about triggering. They don't want to like have everybody let their guard down. They don't want to Jaws too. They don't want to let their guard down and then have it come back worse and go, we should never have, you know, that's what we get for, you know, jumping too soon. So 2020, it's convenient now to think of the end of the world. No, the end of the year. And then the early winter cons, and again, I'm thinking of Gallifrey here in LA in February, which is not Trek, but it's a WhoCon, and some of the, you know, the early casualties of this year, like Emerald City in Seattle and some of the other big festivals, and watch what people, because by the end of the year, they'll be already deciding what the January, February, March, situation is going to be by October. No, they got to for their, all their advance lines and the lines.
Mugato?
Did I say that? Big horny hairy ape. No, that is not what I've turned into in lockdown. But I mean, this year is a wipeout, and then it's just people trying to be inventive and stay afloat and stay sane. But well before the holidays, you're going to start hearing about what's happening with the first quarter, and this whole thing about, well, maybe virtual is a path to staying afloat financially, whether it's especially the chain folks who have people on payroll, and a lot of the nonprofits from San Diego on down, they have a lot of volunteer work, but there's still a lot of money that's dependent on it. And, San Diego Comic-Con, that's the number one. I asked somebody a couple of years ago, and they occasionally host a World Series or a playoff, or they have bowl games, and they occasionally have the Super Bowl. But they said, no. Comic-Con San Diego is the biggest single event and economic impact for San Diego. It was the same thing for South by Southwest and Austin.
Mm-hmm, sure.
And when they lose that, that's a huge, huge, huge hit. And they don't take it lightly. So, there is all that going. But what if you opened a world and nobody came? And that's, anyway, we're all going to be doing that. What I started to say was the virtual panacea. It's like Ryan said, well, if you, okay, so you sell virtual tickets, but you still got to have people on the stages, or unless the virtual end is everybody at, if you've got Armin and Kitty at home in their home and you're at home watching them, if everybody's at home, it'll always be a fill in. It won't ever be the real deal, but that's not what we're talking about. If they try to have a shell of a Vegas or anything, even in the first quarter next year, is there enough there to even sell it as a virtual to make that a lifeline? So it's pretty muddled, but I think it's pretty clear that, like Ryan said, that this year's gone.
I've got a question for you guys.
It's going to depend on the larger factors again. What's going on?
Yeah. Here's a question for you guys. What percentage chance do you think it is that Vegas, Star Trek Las Vegas, happens? And when do you think they would announce that it's being postponed or canceled? Because I think they're going to say postponed rather than canceled, because if they say canceled, then there's refund talk, but if there's postponement, then it's just like, hey, we'll just do it later.
So
what do you guys think are the chances?
Yeah, we've seen that trend, right?
So all the conventions that I'm currently still tracking, so to speak, some of the postponements were done incredibly well, meaning that they said, okay, yeah, this is the new date, and in some cases even new location. If you wish to, come on the new date, your tickets are perfectly valid. If not, here's the contact info to contact whoever in the customer service for refunds. Plenty of conventions who are postponing, who are not offering that, they're just automatically transferring everyone, and then you're basically out of luck, because if you can't make it, I guess you have to sell the tickets yourself somehow.
Yeah, I think
to somebody else. Yeah,
when I hear that word postpone, right, Marina?
It's always a question mark what exactly they're doing. Exactly. Obviously there have been some outright cancellations where it's like, convention not happening, we're starting from scratch next year or whenever. As far as Vegas, I think slowly but surely the percentages of it actually happening, I feel, are dropping, but I don't think we're actually going to know anything until sometime in late June. The way the time seemed to be falling, like as I see every single convention kind of finally folding its cards, it all right now, pretty much everything big that's supposed to be in June is done. They either postponed or canceled. Most of July is gone. So right now Vegas is the next thing. And like I said, I think we're going to hear something in June.
Yeah, well,
some of this
I agree.
Some of it's driven by what state of Nevada.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, right. Totally. Right. They're not going to make any major moves obviously if tomorrow Nevada comes out and says, okay, guys, that's it. Everything is closed until January 1st. That's it. Everybody is basically, they all have to follow.
Yeah. And I agree with that. Right. So right now, I know there's a fancy word for it because Marina's brought it up, but they can't just postpone, their contracts without a good reason, like Act of God or whatever we're going to call it. And I just don't think they are there yet with their August plans, especially Vegas, who's like, I saw something from Caesars and they're like, oh, well, we're planning to do this and we're going to keep crowds limited to that. But that's a property, not the state. The state is kind of battling with the city right now, it looks
sure.
like.
Yeah. Very much so, it seems.
So I think we just need to wait, because the last thing that creation would want to do is say, oh, it's not going to happen without it being official, and then somehow the city wins and they're stuck right. paying these crazy fees for canceling, right? So I think June is probably the right when we'll see it, just in the way things have gone before. I think we're going to hear the word postponed until same time next year, for Ryan, because
which,
of what you
said. Which is a cancellation. Exactly, yes. Which is the same thing as a cancellation.
Yeah, and I've seen that with we've been tracking creation cancellations, because, you know, they have more than just Star Trek. And that's what they've been saying, postpone until same time next year. I'm like, oh, that means canceled. No, because then you can't get your money back if it's canceled, you know. And I can't blame them. They're you know, protecting their investment, right? So it's okay.
I think something that might delay the announcement is that glimmer of hope. The fact that numbers are going down, states are reopening, things are looking good. So maybe they've got their finger right on that trigger and they kind of stop and they go, well, hang on a second. Let's see how this plays out. You know, and obviously we understand why, you know, who can blame them, but I think that's might be why it's dragging. It might drag out a little longer than what we'd like for any kind of decision, is because, you know, this is an every day this situation is changing. It's getting worse and then it's getting better and then new information comes out. And so I think it's
but at the end of the day, we have to be realistic. I have to tell you, I have to admit that for me, it was somewhat a process before and that was even before San Diego canceled, when I basically realized that, as you said, you know, we're probably not going to be seeing anything until all the way end of the year, if then. But for a while, it was sort of, I was filled with sort of like this hopeless hope that, yeah, things are supposed to be peaking and maybe this thing will still happen. I mean, okay, I'm going to be it's going to sound silly considering all the conversation that we just had. I'm still kind of hoping and keeping my fingers crossed for DST London, because that's all the way out in middle or late November, whenever it is, because that's, you know, an end of the year convention. Who knows what's going to be happening then? But realistically, you know, you look at how, you know, there's just no way how they everything gonna get worked out quickly once things do start to opening up. Just as was Jesse was saying in Las Vegas, it's gonna be exactly the same thing in all the other cities before everything else starts to start up with the hotels and other businesses related to that sort of thing.
So, yeah, and you're gonna and you are definitely the human nature of some of us is gonna be, let's see what happens to them.
You go first.
I admit that will be my direction, but me and my group, we made the decision. We were definitely, even if it happens, we're not going to STLV this year, pretty much because, you know, we don't know if even international travel can happen with some of our gang, and we definitely don't want to like just be three of us there, you know. So we're a family, right?
Yeah,
so.
I am sitting back and I'm just observing everything, you know, besides Vegas. Like I said, I'm tracking all these conventions that I'm either aware of or that I've gone to or I was planning to go to this year. And I'm just taking the, you know, the opportunity to check out everything else that gets puts out online. Thank goodness. I mean, there's a lot to occupy my mind with.
Yeah. But I tell you, Marina, we are, though, I think you would agree, we're pretty happy to see what everybody else is doing, because Marina and I have actually talked through a little bit about having a live Q&A or something for our podcast listeners.
Yeah.
And we also run the unofficial Star Trek Las Vegas group, so something for them, because that's really where we're going to see the hurt, because that group is more family than I've seen anything, right? And so something there, and so we've got a lot of things percolating in our brains, but until that decision is made, you know, we're not going to do much about it.
Exactly.
One thing I'd throw out about STLV that's different from every other, you know, event, much less Sci-Fi Con and Comic-Con, is that it's the big start. It's the, for one thing, it's a commercial. So you're on it's a commercial company, right? As opposed to the fan ones, the nonprofits. So the whole profit thing is felt a little more keenly. You're not judging anything. It's a capitalist country. People got to make a paycheck and feed their families. but and all the employees, obviously. But it is a financial for-profit company. It's also, STLV is also the only Star Trek event that Creation does. And there's been, the last few years, there's a lot of talk about the future of the license and the future of Creation itself and the future of the Rio as a venue. And I'm just going to throw it out there that, and then you've got what COVID and Corona is doing to all of those things on their own tracks, right? Much less what how they all intersect at this little thing we call STLV. So a delayed thing could be make it even, you know, could allay some of that. A delay could make some of that, like, as opposed to everybody else who says, oh, we'll just delay till next year. There's a chance that maybe a delay till next year isn't in the cards, you know?
Yeah.
Or not without some big change, maybe a different hotel, maybe a, you know, whatever. And so that's part of this that makes it different to me than everything else, where it's just every other convention or big event or sporting team is going, oh, we'll just come back next year. Same stadium, same hotel, same convention center.
Right.
Yeah, and that's a layer, and that's another part of all this too. So just putting that out there.
All right. So I am going to be, I'm going to be the clock watcher, guys. This is the part of the job I hate. So Marina and team, I think maybe we start closing up in the next 5 minutes.
Yeah. So yeah, absolutely. As a matter of fact, I was going to ask, I mean, we covered pretty much everything that we could cover, because at this point, until we do hear something specific, I mean, as far as Vegas is concerned, we can only offer our own, you know, thoughts, opinions and guesses. So any last thoughts before we start to, close up and talk about where people can find us online. Let's go with Larry.
Oh, well, I think I just gave you my final
thought. Well, you know.
We want your final thoughts.
My final thought.
You know, thoughts of wisdom, you know.
STLV is kind of, for better or for worse, STLV is kind of a different critter than everything else that's on our convention calendar. So, people aren't going to do anything until they feel safe, no matter what the retailers or the convention promoters do. So, it's just going to be we've like everything else. And I'll just leave it at that.
All
and
right.
Meanwhile, we will all be doing what we can to stay safe. And as I say every week, stay safe and sane and trek well. But, we're going to be seeing the tools, and we're going to keep exploring this virtual environment. And we're going to keep see what everything happens on the outside in the big world is going to affect us. And we'll just hang in and see what happens.
Well, yeah. Thanks. Ryan, for you, any last thoughts on the topic? More than one?
Yeah, like I said, humans adapt well. We're going to be fine. We do want to err on the side of caution. We do want to focus on actual facts and information and science more so than guesses and speculation. That stuff can be really dangerous, especially with such high stakes. I also think that when you're talking on any public forums, to be very mindful about presenting opinions as facts, because sometimes when you present a thought or a guess or an assumption, but you present it in a way that sounds like you're actually stating it as if it's a true statement, mm-hmm. You need to be careful about that, because people will grab that and they will run with it. And now you're actually spreading misinformation. Whereas if you begin that sentence with, I think, or I'm guessing, or maybe it's this, then you're putting in that caveat to where people really, whether they're aware of it or not, they're going to take it with a grain of salt. So I think we need to be really careful about that. I think we also need to be compassionate with other people when we're talking about this kind of situation, because people tend to listen a lot more when you are compassionate with them and when you respect them. And when you say things like, I think, or I feel, you know, even though it sounds silly, we just have to be really careful how we say these things and how we present these things and how we talk with each other. I think that humans can survive anything, again, as long as we know that it's temporary and as long as we know that there's, you know, light at the end of the tunnel. So, just get through it the best you can. Reach out to your friends and family. Don't stress out too much. Try not to, at least. And if you see somebody else's, you know, definitely take care of them. There are a lot of ways that we can help each other out. You can do it very simply just by sending something on Facebook. If somebody says something suicidal on Facebook, you can literally click mm-hmm. on Facebook, like, this person's committing suicide, and they'll reach out to them. You know, you've got everything at your disposal right now. You can FaceTime, you can do video chats. Facebook just opened up a new thing called Rooms. You can use Zoom. So really, there is no excuse for us not to band together and be compassionate and help each other out. And if somebody's not asking for help, you still should kind of look for it and offer it, because a lot of times the people that need the help the most are not going to be asking for it. So we need to really be keen observers of that and look out for people in that regard. And sometimes we take them for granted if they're just giving us a laughy face on our Facebook profile picture or whatever. That doesn't necessarily mean that they're okay. So, you know, let's just get through it. It's going to be temporary. And I'm looking forward to the memories on social media where it says, 5 years ago today, you posted this thing. And it's like a picture of a bunch of masks or something. We're like, what the hell was going on 5 years ago? That was insane. I'm looking forward to like looking back at and then all the people like freaking out left and right about all this stuff. And I'm just looking forward to when we can just, you know, look back at it and go, wow, that was nuts, you know.
That was awesome, Brian. Yes, so thanks. Many good points there.
You bought me some time to think about it, I guess.
Everything you said. But no, you just made me laugh because I'm thinking, yeah, 5 years from now, we'll have all the pictures, everybody's empty shelf pictures. From
it'll
stores.
Seem like a different world with all these stupid toilet paper jokes. We'll be like, what the hell? None of this is funny. Why are we doing this? Right now, we don't have that perspective. So I'm looking forward to having that.
Well, here's what I'm looking forward to at the next live.
Hindsight about 2020, I guess we'll say.
Yeah. The next time we do have a big con, whether it's Vegas or whatever, the next time big live con, we have all the photo ops. I want a photo op of everybody in their most stylish Trek mask. I think that's going to be a thing in the future.
You guys want to know, here's a secret before we go. I've worn a mask 4 times in total. Do you know why? Because I don't even leave my freaking room. I've been sitting in my room forever.
Oh my God,
I just
Ryan.
Like, yeah. I just live off Amazon. I'm fine. I got a computer. I have the advantage, or I guess disadvantage, of I got into a pretty bad car accident like on February 1st. Mm-hmm. So I was actually in, I've been sitting in my room since way before everybody else. I'm an old pro at this. I got like 5 broken ribs in my back and broken vertebrae.
Oh my God.
I couldn't even move. So when everybody else got locked down, I'm like, yeah, welcome to my club, guys. So I'm a pro at it.
Well, I will tell you, guys, thank you so much. Like, I like these little conversations. And Ryan, I'm right there with you. When we monitor the Facebook group, we don't want to be a source of misinformation for anyone.
Right.
So we've been very careful to even minimize the discussion on reopening plans.
Yeah.
But anyway, so we are pretty much done. Thank you so much, guys.
Yeah, no, I was going to say that just wanted to bring up, I mean, as the last point of business as we normally have on our episodes, just wanted to find out, you know, where people can find you online. So, as I said, you know, website addresses or handles, please feel free to share them, because I'm sure, you know, those folks who are new to the podcast will definitely be interested in looking you guys up.
Sure. Well, for me, just you can just Google my name, Ryan T. Husk. And, you know, all kinds of stuff will pop up, and follow me on your favorite social media, except for Snapchat. I still don't even understand that.
I am totally with you on that.
But especially
TikToking, Ryan.
I can't even say that with a straight face. But especially just look up The Seventh Rule. Mm. We do a ton of cool Star Trek shows and Star Trek guests. The Seventh Rule, look us up, especially on YouTube. That's what I'd like to promote.
And we will definitely link to The Seventh Rule when we publish this, so people will be able
Thanks
to find
very
it.
Much.
Larry, we can find you anywhere if we just type Dr. Trek, but.
I don't know about that, but there's a lot out there. LarryNemechek.com is a good hub for everything, and at Larry Nemechek on Twitter, and Instagram is Larry Nemechek's Trekland, and Facebook. And all my different projects have a Facebook page, but I just want to say the new stuff that we're doing here during Corona crazy time. Again, Nonfiction Friday, which is just a bunch of people sitting around celebrating all those. When people have Trek book clubs, they always talk about, I don't know, for some reason, the fiction novels.
Yeah.
And never think about the classic and even more modern ones. And we have some fun in there. But that's Nonfiction Friday. It's a Zoom meetup, but it has a Facebook page hub. And then Life Support Live is what I do. A lot of what we've been talking about here, what Ryan just very eloquently went through the list of good things to keep in mind, is what Ali and I talk about. But we do it through a topic. Like this week, we just did Barclay and Saru and anxiety and fear. And we geek out, and then we kind of pivot and talk about a mental health thing. And all of those, you can chat in, or you can Skype in and call and join us. But that's at noon on Saturday, so it's not competing for weeknight time. So noon on Saturday, Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern. But both of those, Nonfiction Friday and Life Support Live, have a Facebook page. You can go there and like it and do all that. And then the other thing is I've made a really 3 months for the price of two. If you go to larrynemechek.com/simple342, it's a special portal deal just to come in short term and see what that's all about too. So a little bit of financial for me, but a lot of stuff out there, and so many people are stepping up to do more. All the, you know, it's out there, but that's what we're doing. And somewhere in the middle of all this, we're going to get the damn Connor Rath documentary finished.
I only laugh, Larry, because I've been hearing that for years now.
Actually, you would think a slowdown would be the perfect time, but these last 2-3 months, I've been busier than I've been the last three years before.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Larry, and we will definitely link to your sites and everything when we publish this. And so I'll go ahead and tell you my Jesse Okendo. You can find me on Facebook at the unofficial Star Trek Las Vegas Convention Group. I am on Twitter and Instagram at Outrageous Okendo. That's OutrageousOkendo. It's the longest name you can get on any of those. So, you know, why not? You know, find me there if you need anything. And we're just happy to be able to talk to you guys. Marina, I think you got to close us out, aren't you?
Absolutely. Yeah, save the best for last, if I can say so myself. Yes, you can find me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram under my full name, Marina Kravchuk, or using handle at Drakorex, DrakKorex. And as Jesse mentioned, he and I are part of the admin team for the unofficial Star Trek Las Vegas convention group on Facebook. And of course, you can find Shoreleaf under our full name, Shoreleaf, your Star Trek Convention Community Podcast on Facebook, and at Shoreleaf on Twitter. And as our usual listeners know, Shoreleaf is part of the Tricorder Transmissions Network. And if you enjoy what we do here or on any of our sister Tricorder Transmissions shows, please consider joining our Patreon. You can go either directly to patreon.com/thetricordertransmissions or visit our network webpage, www.thetricordertransmissions.com, and click on the Patreon link. We thank all our patrons and our listeners for the support. And of course, huge thanks both to Larry and to Ryan for joining us today. This was a great discussion. Thank you very much. And I guess we'll catch you sometime on the next one, whichever the next episode is going to be. Meanwhile, everybody keep trekking.
Live long and prosper.
Thanks, everybody.
Trek well. See you at STLV.
Yeah.